Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. I'm excited to have on a new Republican member, Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin. Tom, you had a fascinating trip just here in the last few weeks. I was surprised to learn, I was listening to a podcast, and a gentleman named Michael Yon was on location doing reporting, and then he starts talking about this congressman who came down to the border of Panama and Colombia, and it was you. And I was like, oh, this is my buddy Tom I always talk to, a great new member. You took Sean Duffy's place. I've been to your district. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of Wisconsin. But what on earth were you doing on the border of Panama and Colombia? How did you get there? What's going on?
So, Devin, as you know, I was elected in a special just a little over a year ago. And the first trip I did was almost exactly a year ago now to the Mexican border south of Tucson, and really saw how the wall is working. They were constructing the wall at that point, and really saw how local law enforcement could work with state and federal authorities to really get control of illegal immigration on our borders. So then you fast forward to 2 months ago, I went down with Jim Jordan and some others on the Judiciary Committee to the Rio Grande. And what we heard from the Border Patrol is the numbers were unprecedented. And they said it's much deeper than just here, just Mexico and perhaps the Northern Triangle countries. They said it goes all the way down to Panama, to South America. And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, this would be really interesting. So we kind of noodled around a little bit, and we saw that there was a reporter, Michael Yon, who's been spending some time down there, got connected with him, and he said, you know, you guys ought to come down here if you're interested in this. So I went down with a couple of my staff 2 weeks ago, and it was an eye-opening experience.
So you flew into where, Panama City?
Yeah, flew into Panama City, and then we trekked on down. We had about 10 people in our entourage, including Michael Yon, Chuck Holton, who does a lot of good reporting for the Christian Broadcasting Network. We even had a young woman named Masako, who does reporting in Japan on issues like this that are going on all over the world. So we had an interesting group that we were traveling with about an hour and a half south of Panama City. And then we went down to the Darien Gap. And the Darien Gap is some of the most inhospitable jungle you'll find in the world. And it's an area that has to be traversed by migrants that are coming from South America. It borders with Colombia. And we got a firsthand chance to be able to see migrants coming out of the Darien Gap, which usually it takes about 7 to 10 days to go through there. And they were stumbling into this village, Bajo Chiquito. We took a 4-hour canoe ride down the Turquesa River to this village, Bajo Chiquito. You know, it's only a few miles within the Darien Gap, but all these people were coming out from all over the world. I met a man from Senegal. As your listeners know, that's in Africa. We hear about all these migrants are just coming from Mexico or Central America. And that's one of the things I wanted to see, Devin. And it was borne out. We were hearing from villagers. They're seeing people come from Bangladesh, Egypt, Hungary, Romania, just all over the world. Migrants are coming across our border from all over the world.
So back up just a second. So I want to just go through the geography. So you land in Panama City. You drive an hour and a half.
Yep.
Is that essentially where you get to the gap?
Yeah. You're basically getting to the gap at that point. But we really wanted to get to this remote village that Michael Yon and others had been to over the last couple months as they've been really studying this, reporting on it to people from around the world. We thought the best way to go was to take a boat on the Turquesa River. It took us about 4 hours to go up the river, which is actually south at that point.
And so this is an hour and a half. So you drive an hour and a half, then you have to get in a canoe to go to this, what do you call it? Baja Chiquita?
Yeah, Bajo Chiquito.
So small, I think that means small beach, if I know my Spanish correctly. But is that the center point, the point of geography that does everybody have to traverse through there if you're coming through Colombia? Do you end up in that village? Is that why there's a critical crossing point?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's a few different routes that they can take, but this is one of the major routes that they take. And we saw them coming out of the jungle. Bajo Chiquito is right next to the jungle, coming out of the Darien Gap. And it's a village of about 500 people. They told us, Devin, they at times have had 1,000 migrants a night in their town. And they're trying to be as hospitable as possible, but they're simply being overrun. And the people that come out of there, first of all, many people do not make it. We heard numerous stories of people who died en route. I mean, this is some of the most inhospitable jungle that you can possibly go through in the Darien Gap. And it takes at least a week to get through there. We heard of people walking over bodies. We heard from villagers that there were babies washing down the river at times because they did not survive the trip. And part of that is the incentive that is put in place by this administration. If you have a child with you, you can get in the country, right, Devin? Yep. And so they want to bring kids with them. Many of the kids do not survive the trip. It is horrible what you see going on down there.
So when these people, they get to Baja Chiquito, they move up, and then do they end up in somewhere in the outskirts of Panama City, and do they continue to make their way up, or is there another mode of transportation? Where are they trying to get to at that point when they get through the gap up to where you came from? Then how do they get the rest of the way and end up at the border?
Yeah, so Michael Yon and Chuck Holden have some great video that's out there that people can find. We met when we were making our four-hour canoe trip. We met 16 canoes, very similar to ours, that were full of migrants that were going down the river, and then they would ultimately end up in a migrant camp that is being managed by both Panama and some international organizations. And they do some care with them, whatever. But then you'd see the motor coaches rolling out. We were staying in a hotel. Metati, I think, was the community that we were in that was our staging area to go to Baja Chiquito. So at Metati, we were staying in a little motel. Right behind it was a migrant camp. We saw four motor coaches one night going out full with migrants, and they were taking people through Panama up to Costa Rica. And then they would just continue that from Costa Rica up to Nicaragua. It really is a pipeline, Devin. And for people that know how a pipeline works, there's pumping stations, right? That's how this works. They get pumped up from Panama to Costa Rica. Costa Rica does the same thing to Nicaragua, and it works. It's all the way up to the southern border. And you got smugglers and coyotes and all these people that are making a fortune off from these people. And you're seeing more stories about that, how some of these coyotes and others, they're making $200,000 a year just smuggling people via the pipeline.
And those folks that you were able to talk to, I assume you had some translators there, were they upfront about the fact that, because I've been to the border, I was recently to the Rio Grande, and a lot of them were just upfront, like, yeah, I paid a coyote $10,000. Do you have any examples of that? Were they admitting that they were paying someone to get them to a certain point?
Yeah, people were very open about it. In fact, people in the village, they were using their canoes to get people to that staging area, to the migrant camp, and they were charging each person to give them a boat ride. So I don't blame them, though, because there is such a crush of people coming into Panama right now through the Darien Gap. What's Panama going to do with them? They don't have the means to care for these thousands of migrants. All they can do is pass them along. Whose fault is it? It's America's. It's America's, and it started on January 20th, Devin, when open borders were declared by the Biden administration.
Right. No, it's criminal what's happening. As you said earlier, it's important to put an exclamation point on what you said to highlight it. And that is that the fact that they're allowing people to claim asylum when they have young children is just preposterous. It's putting those children at great risk. I mean, when I was on the border of the Rio Grande, I saw what appeared to be just kind of silliness where probably those children weren't even the children of the people that they were with. You could kind of tell that, but who's going to challenge it?
And Devin, yeah. One of the points that I would make is that, and this is part of what I wanted to confirm down there, is that these aren't all asylees. These aren't all people who are destitute, which is being represented at times by those people who believe in open borders. We ran into Haitians who have been living in Brazil or Peru for years, making a living. They're relatively happy. Why have they come? Because they all of a sudden heard that open borders, our borders are open in America.
Well, so you get in if you bring a child. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think it's under the age of 7, you get in. And that's why you're seeing a flood of children. I was also recently on the border, the California border, near just outside of San Diego, and I saw Romanians there. They were Romanian gypsies who were there with young children, an entire family, sets of family. There were two brothers, their father, their wives, and I think 6 or 7 children. And if you believe this, Tom, They actually got flown in by the cartels. They came on a charter. They were just in Romania 2 days before. So clearly, these are some people that paid huge amount of money in order to get to the United States. And they just flew right into Tijuana. I think there's a flight that goes into one of the resort cities in Mexico. And then the cartels picked them up, took them right into Tijuana. And they dropped them off right at the road. And they walked in and said, hey, we're here. We're being discriminated against. We're claiming asylum. They had their children. And so they had the double whammy where they had the children and they were claiming that they're taking political asylum for discrimination against gypsies. So quite fascinating. So you said Bangladeshis. How many different nationalities did you see while you're down there that you could remember?
We certainly saw people from the Middle East. There was the one man that we talked to from Senegal, which is, Western Africa.
Yeah.
But we heard many stories from the villagers that they said there's people that are coming from China, coming from Bangladesh. I mean, it really is all over the world that people are coming from. The biggest number of people that we saw were Haitians and Cubans. And as I mentioned earlier, many of the Haitians have been living in South America for a number of years, have now decided to come in. So it's not just people from Mexico and Central America that are coming across our southern border.
And probably a lot of Venezuelans also, with all the turmoil in Venezuela. There's probably a lot of Venezuelans just trying to get out of Venezuela, I'm guessing.
And, you know, one of the interesting things we found out also is that I believe it's Ecuador does not require a visa to get into their country, because we were asking, you know, how do they get to these South American countries? We heard of flights coming into Panama City where people wanting to get into the pipeline to head for America, they would move on from Panama City because they couldn't get off because they need a visa to get into Panama. They would go on to Ecuador. Their flight would connect in Ecuador to Quito and they would be allowed in. Then they'd come back up through Colombia to Panama. So there's very loose restrictions in some countries. Panama's not one of them. I mean, I really do feel for the Panamanian people. They did not ask for this.
One of the things that I used to do when we had a real House Intelligence Committee before we got converted by the Democrats into an impeachment committee and we essentially ceased all real work was that on actual intelligence issues, Tom, is I always encouraged our members, at least on the Republican side, we did a lot of traveling. We went, you know, a lot of time in the Middle East and all these, you know, third and second world countries. And I always had to impress upon that on our members that, look, you can't just go to the capital city, meet with the government leaders and our counterparts there without getting to the hinterlands and go out to areas that are, it would be like coming into the United States, only going to Washington, D.C. You'd have no understanding of what happens in the rural part of California, San Joaquin Valley, where I'm at, or northern Wisconsin, where you're at. And I always encouraged our members to get off the beaten path and go see some different industries or functions or activities. And I just want to congratulate you. You took the initiative upon yourself to take your time without an escort, I'm guessing, to go and meet. I mean, if we ever get the House Intelligence Committee back, Tom, you could give a training course on how to do proper oversight. Congratulations, you've only been here a year. So it's great, great work.
It was a great trip. And as you said, we got an unvarnished look of what is happening. And that's the best thing that you can do is to see the real world and the truth.
So are you going into the canoe business in Baja Chiquito? Sounds like it's flourishing.
Yeah. I think I'm going to stay in the canoe business. It's nice and warm here in northern Wisconsin at this point. Great. It's tourism season is here. I'm going to stick to canoes on the Tomahawk River.
not in Panama, huh?
Yeah. But I'd love to go back again sometime. There's so much more to see and do. And I think there's other facets to this that we can really be helpful. And that's what we're looking at as an office. We want to make sure that we're getting good information because we have to reform our immigration system in this country and get to a sane immigration system. At some point that has to happen. And I'm just trying to do a little bit to help us get to that point, because what's going on right now since January 20th is not working.
Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. It's phenomenal that you did this. I learned a lot from you. Like I said, I heard Michael Yon on the John Bachelor show and he was talking about you. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for not only the representation that you're providing on behalf of the people of Wisconsin, but when you do things like this, it matters to places like the San Joaquin Valley where I represent. It really makes a difference because I take what you learned, you verified it, you share it with me, And now I learned so much and the audience learned so much because you were willing to take the initiative and go out and actually get into the details, get down into the weeds, or in this place, the jungle, and come up with facts, doing real fact finding that ultimately, hopefully, leads to real legislation that would actually fix these problems.
It's great to be on the Nunes Network.
Well, it's glad to have you. We'll hope to have you back on at some point, but thanks again. This is Devin Nunes. Hope you enjoyed Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin. We'll catch you next time.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.